The most exciting chapter in the history of the Republican Party is written in Philadelphia as the National Convention is called to order by Chairman Joe Martin to hear nominations.
As heard in this newsreel footage, the 1940 Republican Party nominations were done from the floor of the convention because the primary election season wasn't what it is today. And so candidates could be plucked seemingly from obscurity to have their names put in contention. And if you had a friend like then Indiana Congressman Charlie Halleck, so much the better.
Before this great independent body, the name of the next president of the United States, Wendell Lewis Wilkie!
Wendell Wilkie was born in the Madison County town of Elwood and later lived with his wife on a farm in her hometown of Rushville. But, and here's where the similarities with the 2016 nominee begin, he'd built a career and a fortune in New York City. At one time or another, the New York Times referred to both Donald Trump and Wilkie as dark horse candidates, unlikely to win their party's nomination. Both energized supporters with their off-the-cuff manner, but that might be where the positive illusions stop. Both men also had to shrug off movements from within their party to stop them from reaching the top of the ticket. And they had to answer for why they were Democrats before they were Republicans. Here's Wilkie defending himself.
The doctrinaires of the opposition have attempted to picture me as an opponent of liberalism. But I was a liberal before many of those men heard the word.
And it was the times, it was the context, it was all these forces that came together in the months before the convention in 1940, the months before the convention in 2016. And that, in the case of 2016, we're still trying to sort out and understand.
That's Indiana University history professor emeritus Jim Madison, who curated a book of essays on Wilkie. Madison says the two men ran very different campaigns, and in some ways, even their similarities bear this out. Both used the media to their advantage. In his book, 5 Days in Philadelphia, author Charles Peters recounts how, when Wilkie arrived for the nominating convention, he decided not to take a car from the train station, but instead to invite reporters along for a walk-and-talk, ask-me-anything-you-want stroll on the way to the meeting place. Donald Trump has also used the media, but perhaps not as congenially.
I find the press to be extremely dishonest. I find the political press to be unbelievably dishonest. I will say that.
Both also saw their companies thrive. Though Wilkie stepped down as president of Commonwealth and Southern, an energy holding company, its stock price rose. Donald Trump has mentioned his lines of steaks, wine, post-secondary education, and casinos, frequently on the campaign trail, all helping to build brand identity. And both men even found ways to use game shows to promote themselves. But again, in very different ways. Wilkie appeared on a radio quiz show called Information Please, where, according to author Charles Peters, he answered questions on poetry, Charles Dickens novels, and the presidential pocket veto, all of which made him look worldly. Trump had his own game show for 1 year, also designed to boost himself.
From the spectacular Trump Castle in world-famous Atlantic City, it's time to play television's non-stop game of knowledge.
And lastly, there's the electorate, which swung behind both men. Here's Trump at a Nevada campaign event earlier this year describing some of his key constituencies.
We won the evangelicals. We won with young. We won with old. We won with highly educated. We won with poorly educated. I love the poorly educated.
But Wilkie was different, though IU professor Jim Madison says Wilkie retained a touch of his common man upbringing. Former Interior Secretary Harold Ickes issued a famous quote about the elites who supported Wilkie's campaign. Here's presidential historian Richard Norton Smith recounting it on C-SPAN's show The Contenders.
Harold Ickes said that Wilkie's candidacy sprung from the grassroots of every country club in America. there's never been anyone like Wilkie. It's hard to imagine there ever being anyone like Wilkie.
Madison says Wilkie's candidacy ultimately consolidated the party, though not in a grassroots way.
The bottom line here is that the Republican leadership, the traditional leadership that did not want Wilkie in 1940, actually reasserted control of the party.
One last similarity to note. Both GOP candidates had to run against entrenched political machines with ties to New York State. FDR had been the governor, Hillary Clinton a U.S. senator. Wilkie collected 82 electoral votes in 1940. Roosevelt won 449. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Stan Jastrzebski.